Discovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler's being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome to Insight Without Jack Stogler tonight, and he's off on vacation. We're going to be talking to our state representative candidates tonight. I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
My name is Ariane Childry, and
I think I've turned your microphone off for some reason. Let's try that again.
Yes, my name is Ariane Childry. I'm running for the 84th State House District. I've been here in Ohio for the better part of the last decade. I was actually born and raised in Southwest Virginia. I am the daughter, granddaughter, and great-granddaughter of coal miners. And my husband's a Kentucky native that moved up here as well. So that's a little bit of the background of our family. We know what it is to struggle, and we're fighting for struggling families.
That's good. Kids?
Nope.
Well, are extended family around here?
Not around here. Okay. No kids, but I am a parrot rescuer. So I have a bunch. I have like six parrots.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's a crazy household when you're dealing with a 20-year-old animal that's speaking back to you.
So, and do they all talk?
They all talk. It's just I have some smaller ones, so they don't talk quite as much. But I have a Amazon and a couple of Conyers, and they'll talk your head off more than I do.
Well, that's good that you're talking, because we are on a talk show. So we appreciate you coming in tonight. What is your job? What do you do?
Yeah, so I've been in retail management. Right now, my husband actually works full-time, so I can focus on the campaign. He's a union laborer, but I've been in retail for more than 20 years, most of that in retail management. Mm-hmm. So I worked for, I won't name the name, but a very large retailer for the biggest portion of my career.
Probably a name we would recognize.
Definitely would recognize.
And probably have bought stuff from.
Almost guaranteed.
Where do you currently live?
Yeah, so I live in St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, okay.
So yeah, we're in the Auglaize portion. Of course, the district itself is all of Mercer County, Southern Auglaize, and Northern Dark. So we're right over there in the Auglaize section of it.
Okay, so that's good, and you've got some retail management experience. So why do you want to run for state representative, and what are some of your skills that makes you that you feel is a good qualification for that? And you can be as elaborate as you want to, which would be really good, and you can take each one separately and do 5 or 10 seconds or 5 or 10 minutes on. let's start with the skills part first. What are some of your skills and talents that you feel like are pertinent to the position?
Well, when I worked with that large unnamed retailer, part of my job was managing 300 people on a day-to-day basis. I was in upper level management, so I know what it is to deal with people who have different focuses, different personalities, different viewpoints, and trying to come together and find consensus in order to get something done. Outside of the retail experience, you know, I've also worked in activism, trying to testify in front of the State House, issued written testimony to the State House, and worked with representatives in the Ohio State House. So that's given me a little bit of insight into what goes on there. I had 10 stores that I did programs for when I was with that retailer. So I did a lot of traveling, a lot of teaching and training. That is really a passion of mine, to try to teach and train. And I think it kind of opens you up to hearing from different people. So I think really the biggest thing for me as far as skill set is that ability to sit down, talk to people, and try to find that we can meet somewhere in the middle. Maybe I don't get 100% of what I want. Yep. Maybe you don't get 100% of what you want. but let's deliver something for the people. I always say an all or nothing approach usually leads your constituents with nothing.
Yes. And it seems like the last, especially since social media, everybody wants all of whatever their agenda is, right, left, somewhere in the middle. They do not like people who will even associate with the other side. And compromise is a dirty word, but that's how our country got, how it got started.
Yeah, compromise has to happen. I tell people all the time that I deal with, and my little example is this, you know, if I'm going across the country and, you know, I've got that train waiting to pick me up, am I going to turn down the train that's going to get me as far as Idaho if I'm headed to California, or am I going to take that one and then hope I can catch the next one?
Yes.
Well, when it comes to politics, it's really the same thing. No one is ever going to find a perfect candidate that they agree with 100%.
Right.
But let's see if maybe there's somebody that's workable. Can we see another perspective and meet in the middle? And, you know, I think you have to have, when you have a policy or you have a bill, you have to be looking, what's the goal you're trying to accomplish with that bill? Not the details, what's the goal? And then maybe you have to give up some of the details, mm-hmm. and that way we can work across the aisle, in my case with the Republicans, mm-hmm. and let those details go so we can achieve a goal, because better is always better than nothing.
Yes, and you know, there's a number of things that have worked over the years that it didn't happen right there. Just you take a little bit when you can get a little bit, and if you can get things kind of moving, whatever the particular thing is, let's say, let's just say whatever that particular bill is about, you know, maybe you can win a little bit of yours, I can win a little bit of mine, and we go on to the next one, and it's a long-term thing to get this accomplished. It virtually nothing is accomplished, bam, that day. It's a matter of working with people trying to get, we'll take a little here, and next time we'll get a little bit more, and we'll work and try to get things that way.
Yeah.
It really works. It's worked for 250 years for our country.
Yeah, and when you get that little bit of something, it also gives the chance for people to see maybe people who weren't on board with the idea and be like, this seems like it's working.
Yes.
Let's do more of that. So you build that consensus when you're willing to compromise.
Yeah. You don't necessarily get everything you wanted, but you get it started, and a little progress is a lot better than zero progress.
Oh, yeah. I've worked on campaigns for Republicans and Democrats, because I'm a former Republican from many, many years ago, but I've never had a case where I've gotten like the candidate who's 100% this is the person or everything I agree with. There are things that I have major disagreements with, but are they going to get us closer to the goal of what we need as a country or as a state? And, you know, I think that when it comes right down to it, going to self-promote here, I believe I would do that because I'm willing to talk to people and have mm-hmm. those conversations.
Yeah, and they can learn from you and you can learn from them. And sometimes it's easier to come to an agreement when you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that a lot of people aren't into these days. They are.
No.
I'm right. You're wrong. We're going to do it my way, or we're burning the house down.
Yeah, and I think talking to people, being willing to do that. When I started, like, one of the issues that I've made a big focal point is there's a bill out there called the Nursing Workforce and Safe Patient Act. And I will be honest, when I started this campaign, I didn't know a thing about it. I'd never heard of it. And it was a supporter who came up to me at an event and told me about it, and then I started looking into it. So if I had been depending on myself, I would have known nothing about this. But
right.
This bill will help us set staffing levels in hospitals for nurses so our nurses aren't overworked. With us losing so many nurses in the COVID epidemic, a lot of people just quit nursing.
Yeah.
And this would create a loan-to-grant pipeline for a nurse if they decided to work in the state as a nurse for 5 years. So it encourages people to get into the field, helps mm-hmm. us replenish that nursing staff, And unfortunately, it's one of those bills that I call, it's in legislative limbo. We focused on all sorts of things that, in my opinion, are silly and don't deserve our attention. But we have something like this that's nursing, and all of us, Republican, Democrat, you want good health care when you go to the hospital. You want a nurse that's able to be focused on you. Because let's be honest, how often do you see your doctor when you go to a visit? You mostly see that nurse.
Yep.
And this is helping to get those nurses, make sure they're not overworked. And all of that came by being willing to listen to a constituent in the district.
Yep. And like you said, something you wouldn't have even...
Wasn't on my radar.
Yep. And so are there any particular issues or things like that that you are really focused on, or things in general?
Yeah. I think one of the things that's really a focus of this campaign is... The Ed Choice Voucher Program, which I will openly admit, I call it the Ed Choice Voucher Scam. It's pulling $1 billion out of, it's now almost $1 billion. And that's like three times more than the legislature had predicted, had estimated for it to be.
Now, is this a state thing?
It's a state thing.
So we're talking about $1 billion in Ohio?
We're talking about $1 billion in Ohio. Whoa. That comes out of the education budget. And people think it's separate budgets, but it's the same bucket. So when you look and you see, you know, how many times have we got locals that are frustrated because there's another education levy, a school levy on the ballot, and we all feel like we're getting squeezed to death. But these private school vouchers, which are mostly going to people who were already sending their kids to private school, that money is coming out of that education bucket. And that's at a time when Ohio ranks 28th in starting teacher pay. We are so much better than this. Yes. And our teachers are better than this. So I want to see if we've got $1 billion that we can put into private schools that can tell your kids, sorry, you're not welcome here. Let's instead invest that into our public schools. Let's get, you know, good tech programs. Let's get good ag programs. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that our teachers actually have a living wage. And that is something I am so incredibly passionate about, as well as housing reform, which I want to see happen. And I've been working to try to figure out a way to really work on a housing reform package that will take in mind our landlords and our tenants. Because, again, it's not an all-or-nothing approach.
Right. And part of some of that is that everybody thinks that the landlord is somebody sitting somewhere with a pile of cash and not going to do anything with it.
Yeah,
for the most part, lots of, now there's some big corporations that do that. But for the most part, especially around our area, there might be one or two. But for the most part, they're just regular people that are, you know, they might have put up a few apartments, or they have several houses, and they have property taxes to pay and all that kind of stuff. They have expenses.
They do.
And mortgages and that.
Yeah, they're usually paying off a mortgage through that process of renting to people.
Yeah.
And we don't want to, you know, we want to keep both sides in mind, but we have something in the state of Ohio, and this actually came up to me from a Dark County resident. So I had a lady in Dark County who was elderly, disabled, and obviously didn't have a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. She got a housing voucher to try to help get herself up on her feet to get into a better situation. The problem was none of the landlords would accept a housing voucher.
Oh.
And that's something we want to deal with, because that puts people, those housing vouchers are good in the counties that they're issued in. So, you know, what's her options? And so source of income discrimination is something we want to deal with. And I want to talk to those landlords. If they've got concerns about the housing vouchers to help get people out of poverty, let's talk about it. But I think those are things we can address, and something that benefits both our landlords and our renters is I want to tackle the epidemic we have in Ohio of these out-of-state housing corporations coming in and buying up Ohio properties, giving it what some people, no insult to you landlords listening, but what's been called the landlord special upgrade, which is you know, people just throw something together, charge an exorbitant fee, and then they walk away and collect it. And in a lot of cases, they're buying these starter homes that a lot of our families would be purchasing,
yep.
but now it's a high price rental.
Yep.
I think if we're going to have landlords in Ohio, let's let them be our Ohio landlords yep. rather than these out-of-state corporations.
Yep. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll kind of go through a couple other things and wrap things up. And then, so what we're doing tonight, we're doing one candidate, then the next candidate, about each of them about a half an hour. And we want to get through as much as we can here. Be back in just a minute or two.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Port Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Fort Recovery firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 13th, from 8 to noon at the fire hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom made by your firefighters, all-you-can-eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the fire hall on Sunday morning, October 13th, from 8 to noon for the Fort Recovery firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast. We're back. Site, and we are talking with Ariane Childry. I want to make sure I get your name pronounced correctly. Ariane Childry, and she is running for state representative in our district, and we've talked about several things. What kind of things do you want to accomplish? What are your goals? What do you think your role should be, is going to be, as a state representative?
Well, you know, the issues that we just discussed, those are things that I really want to push on trying to get some sort of bill through that addresses some, if not all, of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to be able to work across the aisle where we can. I know people may be surprised with, you know, people hear stories about my background and who I am as a candidate. But the thing is I'm really open to sitting down, talking to people across the aisle and building consensus. So if the Republican parties wanted to sit down with me, let's have the discussion. Democratic Party, I think we can make real solutions. I want to take people's concerns here in the community to the state house, the issues that matter, and try to work on those.
That's good. So we talked about a couple of things there. Any other specific issues that you feel are important for you and or the people in the district?
Well, one of the things that we're focusing on that's not necessarily a policy per se, but we want to make sure if elected, when I'm coming back, we're having regular town halls open to the public, town halls throughout the district. And I always say I want those town halls to be about 10% me talking and 90% the constituents. Because I don't want to be getting my policy ideas from the lobbyists at the State House.
Yep.
I want to be getting those policy ideas from the people here in our communities. And I want that to be an opportunity for, if I just came back from session and I did a boneheaded move that you don't like, tell me about it, but tell me why. I want to understand your why. And then let's see if I can either explain myself or if I got to ask for forgiveness and correct it. But I want to be able to learn. So town halls are an important thing. We talked about education. I also want to look at addressing elder care. You know, across the state, it's a patchwork. Some places have really good elder care available, but it's all based on what's going on in your local communities. I think that regardless of where you've raised your family, Ohioans, our elder Ohioans, should have that opportunity for at-home care. And I want them to be able to do that. And I want us to have agents, like extension agents, like you end up having, that can go to people's homes if they request it. And rather than expect people to go through 8 million computer programs for this, that you may, let's have somebody that can help them get through these processes from the comfort of their home. Mm-hmm. So elder care is another thing that I'm really focused on, because I was a primary caregiver for my own grandmother. So I know the stress families are under, and I also know that at-home care gives you better results.
Yes, you know, a lot of people know that I work for Calp Pharmacy. I deliver medical supplies, and we do a lot of hospice type of things, and we do a lot of getting equipment to somebody's home so they can spend their last days there, and that is extremely important. That is so much better for everybody. It can't work for everybody, but if it can, you know, and hospice and you know, people that know what they're talking about and doing can make a huge difference. So
that's a
big thing, and if those kind of things can happen, and anything we can do for our older people is just it's a really good thing, because it's important.
Yeah, and these are the people who have given us the opportunity. They're the ones that built up our community, the community that we're taking over. So I think we owe a debt of gratitude.
Yes.
And, you know, I know with my grandmother, hospice workers, the short time we had them at the end of her life, they were an absolute godsend, because I remember being stuck there at home, afraid to even so much as go out to a convenience store to leave. And having that ability for families to have that, but still have the opportunity to have their family at home, because when you're dying, when you're passing of an illness, it's so important that you be able to look around at familiar surroundings.
Yep.
And so I want us to make sure that we're putting that as a focus. And again, maybe we can't get everything, but if we can get something to help in that area, people like my grandmother, that we deserve that.
And again, you may need to get a little bit of it now and a little bit of it, you know, and you might go three steps forward, one step back, but if you keep progressing for whatever it is that you're trying to get to, you know, it's not all or nothing. It's whatever we can get, and we'll make something happen, and we'll everybody will be, won't be 100% happy, but nobody will be mad.
Yeah, so, perfection truly is the enemy of good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, demanding that you get everything. So.
Yep. And are there any particular, let's say, like agriculture, there's a lot of manufacturing around here. Is there anything in particular that you know of that needs to be sort of fixed or worked on, or things, I guess, that are at least accomplishable to a point? You know, everything can't be taken care of, but sometimes you can get things going the right way. Are there any particular things like that, any particular fields of work, or even anything else that you think need to have some specific attention?
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing is I'm a huge advocate for strong unions throughout, and I can tell you, I worked in Salina, and I used to hear the stories, people who were very irritated because of situations that happened with people who were longtime employees of Huffy and then lost their job. And it left a very sour taste in a lot of people's mouths when that business went out. But I also know that the value that good, strong unions can do for our area and continually investing into that so that we make sure people have a living wage with the proper benefits. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of great employers around here, but I think working with them and trying to help with those benefits are good. When it comes to ag, I freely tell people, I'm not a farmer. I'm not the expert on it. What I am is the person who's willing to listen to people who are experts on it. One of the people who advises with our campaign a lot is Chris Gibbs. And Chris is a farmer. He used to be a government official in farm as well in ag. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things we talk about is anything that we're hearing, we want to be able to have those type of town hall situations. And I'm open to having those, you know, with farmers. What are the issues that you're seeing? I know we're struggling now because of drought and farmers are having to pull out hay for, you know, their livestock months before they had planned. And I think just making sure we've got the proper support for our farmers to get them through in these hard times. Yep. And the one thing I will agree with my opponent on is one thing that she's strongly worked towards, and I support her in this, is making sure that we don't have our farmlands getting, again, scooped up by out-of-state or even foreign corporations. And, and I applaud that, and that is definitely something that I likewise would endorse.
And you know, some people say, well, that's not right, because then the guy that owns the land should be able to sell it for $2,000 more an acre to whoever he wants to sell it to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have a nice little bubble here that we live in, and if we start getting all these outside groups, whatever it might be, influencing us, we're going to end up kind of like the rest of the world.
Yeah,
and I don't like that.
No, it impacts our entire community. And like one of the things I would like to work towards is, like, we have that program where you can get your farmland deeded and get that it's going to be continuous farmland, and you're guaranteeing that. Now, right now, there are certain acreage requirements in that. I want to expand that ability for people to go into that. I want to make sure that not only does that include our larger family farms, let's make sure it includes our small family farms as well.
Yep.
Because Ohio is an important agriculture state.
Yes.
And this is one of the most important regions for that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to support any policy, Republican or Democrat. If it irritates a Republican or if it irritates a Democrat, I'll buck my own party. But we're going to protect our local farms, and that's something that I think both myself and my opponent would agree on.
Yep. So about time to wrap up. So I'll let you do a quick recap of who you are, why you're running, and that type of thing. So go ahead and.
Yep. So just to restate, my name is Ariane Childry, and I am running to be your 84th State House Representative. I am the third generation, come from three generations of farmers, and I'm interested in working for our working class, putting those people first. And so I hope you'll consider me.
All right. And the election is coming up on November 5th. And
early voting
started yesterday, I believe. And you can do that in person or by mail. And there's going to be a couple of promos here between you and Ms. King that'll kind of give us a little bit of that. The election board was in last week, and they recorded some things for us.
Awesome.
So we have that. So, again, we really appreciate you stopping by. And good luck to you in the election. I hope everything goes really well. And again, appreciate you very much stopping by and talking with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's Ariane Childry, and she is running for state representative. Be back in just a little bit with Angie King.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Port Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual-clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Port Recovery today.
It's time for supper and you don't have time to make a great meal. No problem. Let Miracle Lanes come to the rescue. With their full menu of great food, everybody can get what they want. Subs, sandwiches, wraps, salads, wings, and of course their great pizza. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And don't miss their pizza, wing, and salad buffet on Friday at lunch. And remember to call and reserve your lanes for that special birthday party, family get-together, holiday party, or just for fun. Great food, great friends, great times. Miracle Lanes, open Monday through Thursday at 3 and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 11. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, Our Lady Indians will host St. Henry in our last regular season match. We'll simulcast WPGW for the varsity match, and their audio will also be heard on the NFHS video, and it will be volleyball senior night. Friday, our football team will host Parkway, and the homecoming ceremony will be held at halftime. Fort Recovery Radio will bring you the game with our pregame show starting at 6:40, and our audio will also be heard on the NFHS video. Get out to all the games you can to help cheer on our Indians teams this week. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
The Mercer County Board of Elections would like to remind voters that in-person absentee voting will begin on October 8th in the Mercer County Courthouse Auditorium, 101 North Main Street, Salina, with extended hours through the early voting period, which ends at 5 p.m. Sunday, November 3rd. Please check the website for more information on extended hours and other voting information. We are your trusted source for all things related to voting.
Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 5th, and that means the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7, and drive-through carryouts will also be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and a drink. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. Tickets can be purchased at the door. The dinners are only $9 each, and all proceeds go to their local Friends in Need Fund. That's the annual Election Day all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday evening, November 5th, at the Trinity Lutheran Church at the corner of Wayne Street and State Route 49. The Fort Recovery Merchants and the Fort Streetcar Classics Car Club are having their fall cruise in on Saturday afternoon, October 12th, on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery from 4 to 8 p.m., rain or shine. Oldies will be playing all day. There will be a 50-50 drawing and, of course, some of the coolest cars around from all eras. Make plans now to head up to the Brick Street and check out the awesome cars that will be there. Fall cruise in Saturday, October 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. It's always a great time and you don't want to miss it. Welcome back to Insight. We spoke with Arian Childry, and now we're speaking with Angie King. They are running for the state representative for this area, and Angie is the incumbent. I'll let you kind of introduce yourself, where you're from, and some things like that, and kind of what's going on there.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. Angie King, state representative for the 84th House District, serving Mercer, Northern Dark and Southern All Glaze. And so I'm just finishing up my first term. The last 22 months have certainly flown by, and it's been a privilege and an honor to represent our district, the values, and our way of life. And I can honestly say that our district, the 84th, is really the heartland of Ohio. No better place to work, live, and raise a family. You know, we're number one in ag. We have an equally strong manufacturing sector, great schools, got 17 in the district, 800 small businesses. 12 of our schools are in the top 70 out of 607, I believe it's 607 schools across the state of Ohio. 12 of ours are in the top 70. Five are in the top 20. Fort Recovery is a blue ribbon school, yep. Also five star, and they are number 45 out of 607. Mm-hmm.
So, and also in our district, I believe, is the number one, which is Marion Local. And I think there's three or four others that are right there.
Yes.
You know, I think we live in a spot where family is big, and family encourages the kids to keep going and keep things going like they need to do. There's plenty of opportunities as long as you want to put in a little bit of work.
And we've got a great work ethic.
Yes, we do.
And
that's huge. And part of that work ethic is making sure the kids get the education they need, even though they might not ever be asked who the 14th president was. They need to at least be aware that there's things like that going on with history, and this, all of this things happened, and you just need to keep on going. So go ahead with what you want to cover here tonight.
Sure. I thought I'd maybe just give a kind of a quick legislative update on the last 22 months. Again, the 84th is one of the best districts to work, live, and raise in family. And as you pointed out, it's our values, shared values.
Yep.
And so sadly, however, a lot of the policy coming out of the federal government, and sometimes even Columbus, really isn't in our best interest or doesn't reflect our rural values or way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I ran 2 years ago, the things that were important to me was our family values, small businesses, and our ag community. And so I've held true to that. And I have four grandchildren now.
All right.
So we've gained a couple. And so, you know, this is really about them and their future. And so this last GA, our budget was a historic investment, really, and focused on families, the economy, and communities. Everything from mental health, career tech, big investment in career tech, workforce. Shortage of workforce is one of the things I hear most frequently in visiting business owners, and from retail to schools to factories.
And even in our area, we have Vantage up north, have TriStar here in our county. I think there's something, I don't know exactly where the Dart goes down to MV Miami Valley Career Technical thing, I think, or maybe Edison. There's a lot of really good things, and there's a lot of really good people doing that, but there isn't enough trained workforce, and you can make very good money, and people are starting to realize that, and that's one reason why 6 or 7 or whatever years ago, they voted to build that whole new beautiful campus over there at TriStar.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, they do a great job.
But it's not enough.
Right, and so we made a historic investment, I think it was around $200 million, in career tech, in equipment, so the students have the most updated, latest technology to work on so that they can be career ready from leaving from high school. So that was very important to address that economic development and workforce. So basically everything from mental health, career tech, childcare, infrastructure, as well as housing tax credits. That's another thing we hear about, the housing crisis, the shortage. And then, of course, simplifying, reducing taxes. So we did all that while at the same time making sure we have a balanced budget.
Because states are required to have a balanced budget. Federal government can print money and just keep on going.
And keep printing,
And, it's a few trillion dollars between friends.
Exactly. Yeah, money doesn't go and grow on trees in Columbus, so we have to have a balanced budget. So got through the operating budget, and then just most recently is our capital budget, and there were a number of projects that we were able to fund in our district. So I was quite pleased. I think it was a little over $12 million that the 84, some great projects. Fort Recovery received $600,000 for the water tower. The mayor, Randy Diller, great to work with.
He's a village administrator.
Yes, correct. And I believe, I think I read that they're starting that project pretty soon.
They have the hole dug out there, and they're, it is going, I'd say, for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So yes, that is in process now. So it's going, and you know, the from the time they proposed it and got some grants and stuff like that, in the meantime the cost went up 50%. So they needed extra money, or they weren't going to be able to do it, because the town didn't have, and the $600,000 doesn't quite cover it, but it gets it going. And I don't remember exactly the details, but it's going to take us a little bit longer to get it paid for. But at least it's doable. So that's a big deal.
And the timing of that was perfect, because that was part of that one time money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been available for that type of project.
Yep.
And then, of course, the $500,000 for the Opera House.
Yep.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, that is also a big deal. People around here very much like that.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful building, and I can't wait to see the completion.
Yeah. If you haven't been up there for a while, you might have been able to get up there when they did the groundbreaking.
I did. I was there I've been there several times.
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't changed much. But if you hadn't been here for a year, it's a lot different.
So I have a very unique perspective on that. Several years ago, when Nancy and Helen and Lori were starting to research it, I was the county recorder.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I got to assist them and kind of hear their plans for it. So it was very exciting for me to be able to kind of assist that and help move that project along.
Yep. So, and all that, and you know, that's just Fort Recovery stuff. Lots and lots that has come to our district because somebody is advocating for us.
Well, we got great projects, great people, and so it's always nice to bring those tax dollars back to the local district.
Because, you know, until the last 20 years, most of the state money went to the 3 C's and Toledo. You know, Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, Toledo, maybe some other Youngstown and Lima maybe, but that went to all the big cities, the big metropolises, the population centers, and the rest of the state got nothing. Right. We just paid the taxes, and they got all the influence, got them all the money. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more with Angie King, and we'll get a little more information from her on what's going on at the General Assembly and that type of thing. So be back in just a minute or two.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
The Wayne IGA is having another of their great meat sales this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. In their meat department, they have ground chuck, loose, and patties for just $3.99 a pound. New York strip steaks are only $7.99 a pound. Boneless pork chops are $2.99 a pound. Boneless chicken breasts and tenders are only $2.99 a pound. And IPC bacon is just $3.99 a pound. And everything is freshly cut and packaged in their grab-and-go meat section. In their deli department, Virginia brand ham and Colby Jack cheese are only $4.99 a pound, sliced to order or ready to go in their convenient deli grab-and-go section. Their already great meat prices are now even better during this October meat and deli sale this Thursday through Saturday at Wayne IGA, the best meat market around.
Again, to get your chances at winning big at the Win on the Wall Bash. Tickets for the 2025 raffles go on sale in person and online Sunday, October 13th. In-person sales will occur at Ambassador Park from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the 13th, or tickets can be purchased online beginning at 10 a.m. that morning at www.wowraffle.com. New this year, each $100 raffle ticket purchase will enter you into both the Friday Night Toe and Go Raffle and the Saturday Super Raffle. Each $100 raffle ticket also includes one weekend entry wristband into the event to be held August 22nd and 23rd, 2025. Also available beginning October 13th will be pre-event 50-50 tickets, but those sales occurring strictly online through our website. Don't miss out on your chance at some huge prizes. Get all of the details at wowraffle.com and purchase your raffle tickets beginning October 13th.
We're back on Insight, and we are talking with Angie King, our current state representative, and she is running for re-election in 4 weeks.
November. Yep.
November 5th, 4 weeks from yesterday, and we had our opponent, Arian Childry, on before her just a few minutes ago, and currently you kind of give us a little bit of a legislative update. Are we through that round, or you got some more to tell us about?
Sure, I can. Happy to talk about some of the bills that I've introduced or passed, and you know, one of the really nice things is, you know, I've been involved in local government for almost 20 years, and so I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of different mayors, county commissioners, and that sort of thing. And so three of the bills that I first introduced were policy ideas and suggestions either from some of our local superintendents, county commissioners, or county recorders. So that was really neat to have that working relationship where they were able to bring some things to my attention just to make things a little easier for them. And fortunately, we were able to get those in the operating budget and get that implemented for them. I also had my first bill signed by the governor. That was a really fun experience, kind of neat to watch that process from the beginning of introducing a bill to having it pass both chambers and then signed by the governor. And that was a jury duty exemption for nursing mothers. And that was actually brought to our attention from Rep. Kloppenstein's constituent. She had some problems in her district as far as getting an exemption. But one of the other things that I've been real passionate about and been working on for 2 years, and we're getting close. We might have to get across the finish line next General Assembly, but is and banning foreign adversaries from purchasing land next to critical infrastructure mm-hmm. and U.S. military bases. So I've been working on that for almost 2 years. I think everybody's probably familiar with the spy balloon that went over the U.S.
Yep.
for a while. And then in North Dakota, there was the Chinese communist company that wanted to put a corn mill processing plant up by the U.S. Air Force Base. And it was deemed a serious national security threat. City Council shut it down. That company then went to South Carolina, kicked them out of South Carolina. Well, where do you think they came shopping next?
Yep.
Ohio.
Yep.
Yep. So we had, I am personally aware of two Chinese communist companies that were shopping for land here in the 84th and the 82nd. So, you know, this is just a national security issue. We've had four hearings. We've had no opponent testimony. The Senate has carried our companion bill. It's gotten out of the Senate and it's sitting in the House. So I don't know if we'll be able to get that through lame duck, but I'm hopeful. So that's something that I'm very concerned about, protecting Ohioans. You know, we've saw in Texas and Hawaii small water plants have been hacked. So this is something we should take seriously. One of the other things as a state legislature I never thought I'd have to really consider is that with our southern border, every state now is a border state, and that includes Ohio.
Yep.
And so myself and Senator Johnson have started Ohio First Caucus, and we are bringing in national experts to kind of keep us apprised of what's happening nationally so that we can kind of stay ahead and make sure that we have policies in place to protect Ohioans. And recently introduced a bill called the Ohio Wired Act. And so what this would do would be apply a small fee on anyone who transferred money outside of the United States. It would be a small fee. Now, when you file your state income tax, you can get that back as a credit. But if you don't claim it, it goes into the a general fund, and our law enforcement and drug task force can apply for grants and use that money to combat human trafficking, drug activity, illicit activity. So we're working to get that done. This is something that Oklahoma has already implemented probably 10 to 15 years ago. J.D. Vance has introduced a similar bill at the federal level. And so just another thing, another tool in the toolbox, so to speak, to help law enforcement have some funds to go after these folks and to keep Ohioans safe. House Bill 1 also was passed, and that closed the loophole to ban foreign funding and state ballot issues. I don't know if everybody's aware, but last year there was approximately $13 million that was deposited in Ohio by the 1630 Fund to influence our ballot initiatives. So right now, foreign nationals can't contribute to candidates' funds like mine, but there was a loophole that foreign nationals, green card holders, could fund and donate to ballot initiatives. So we dropped that, or got that passed. And quite interesting, what happened is just maybe a week or two before we passed that, the 1630 Fund donated $6 million to issue one, which is on the ballot in November.
Yep.
And so, people ask me, well, what about issue one? And I said, well, first thing you need to do is look behind the curtain. Peek behind the curtain. Who's funding it? And they've got $23 million, and 85% of it is coming outside of Ohio. So that's kind of concerning for me. 1630 is known as a dark money group. And so issue one, if I can, maybe just touch on that real quick.
Yep.
Issue one eliminates the anti-gerrymandering restrictions that Ohio voters passed in 2015 and 2018. So basically what it does, it'll put unelected, unaccountable people in charge of drawing the maps. So you and I have no input, there's no accountability, and we're going to pay their tab. And so the way it's written is the General Assembly must approve a minimum of $7 million as the floor. And then the next General Assembly, $7 million still the floor, but then it can be increased for inflation. And so I'm going to be required to make that appropriation. There's nothing I can do to say, no, you're spending too much, or we need to, kind of limit the funds. Their legal expenses are, there's no cap. So there's nothing you or I can do about it. Issue one puts a committee of 15 in charge of drawing maps, and these are 15 individuals who are unelected, unaccountable, and they're self-governing.
So who's doing that currently?
It's citizens, I think citizens, not politicians. I'm not sure their group, but you can go online to see every organization, individual who's donated to this, and 85% of it is outside the state of Ohio.
So who is drawing up the districts now?
So it is a committee of seven. So there's two Republicans, two Democrats, and then the three state elected officials. And the current map that we have, it went through the courts, but the current map that we have now was it was approved bipartisan. So both Democrats and Republicans approved the current maps. But what it'll do if this passes, I'm voting no, and I'm urging all Ohioans to vote no too. But what it'll do if this passes, it'll take away from citizens for 222 years the authority of people chosen by Ohio voters to develop the legislative maps. And so these map drawers are going to be selected by retired judges and a private hiring firm. And so it leaves you and I out of the process. So again, it's unelected, unaccountable, and unfair. So I'm voting no. And there's my little plug for all Ohioans.
On the surface, it sounds really good because you're getting people that they're not politicians doing this. They're in on the surface, it is just good old people that have been that are good, outstanding citizens drawing this up. And the chances of that happening are zero. Not maybe not quite zero, but pretty close to it. It's going to be people with influence of some sort with an agenda is what it seems to me like it's going to be. Now, I could be mistaken on that, but that's sure what it sounds to me like it's going to be.
And you hope they're upstanding citizens.
Yes.
But should something happen, there's nothing that you and I can do to hold them accountable or remove them from the committee.
Yep. Yep, and that is, you know.
It's a bad deal for Ohio.
Yeah, people have to be held accountable for what they're doing. And you know, so, yeah, I understand that completely. Anything else you want to do and kind of before we kind of sort of wrap it up? We're getting close to the end, but we almost always go a little over. Then we still have Randy with his top 10 list.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, but again, it has been a great honor to serve our district, and I certainly appreciate the trust the voters have put in, you know, trust that they put in me to represent them, and you know, people around here are great, they're hardworking, and it's truly a joy to represent them in Columbus.
Are there any specific issues or even general issues that you do think are important that you want to try to push a little bit or that you've been trying to push and haven't gotten accomplished yet or anything in particular that you think is important that we need to deal with in the legislature?
Yeah, sure. One of the things that I'm most concerned about is really electric demand, power grid. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be a big concern going forward. Ohio is number two as far as data centers in the nation, and that's a huge draw on our electric power. And so how are we, you know, that's internet. You know, I have two phones. Everybody has iPad, cell phone, and all these. Yep. Those are 24/7. Some of these green energies, whether it is solar or wind, those aren't 24/7. And they're shutting down the coal plant. So how are we going to, that demand is increasing, but the resource isn't keeping up with the demand. So that is a concern for me. And how are we going to address that going in the future? The other issue that I have is the marijuana issue that passed last year. You know, that's a big concern. We've had Senate had some bills to address that, and they've just sat in the House. And so it's really going to be up to each individual community at this point. Mm-hmm. With the 12 plants, I talked with a grower. I had to learn about this stuff. Don't have any personal experience. But according to a grower, you know, 12 plants will produce about 11,000 joints a year. So why, what is a family, what is a household good do with that much marijuana? You know, most states have 3 plants. What was passed last year is 12. And so, you know, how are we going to control that at restaurants and smoking out in public and all those questions? You know, employers still have right to drug test. So that has been a concern for folks that have reached out to me and communities and how to address that at the local level.
Yep. And that, on the surface, it seems like it's probably okay, but then there's this question, there's this possibility, and, you know, there is no way that I know of to test for if you're driving and they feel like you're impaired. There isn't any reliable test that I know of to tell if they are high on marijuana.
That's my understanding as well. So as passed, it'll the 12 plants will produce 25 pounds every 3 months, which is 100 pounds a year.
Yep.
And so that's about 11,000 joints, which sell around $5 a piece, is the information that I've received. Yep. So very concerning. Yeah. Very concerning.
Yeah, and if it is for personal use, that's one thing. But there's so many little things that are just troubling, I'd say. Might not necessarily be as troubling as I think they are, but there's a lot of things that aren't and probably aren't going to be answered. Haven't been, and they won't be. It's just going to be one of those things we have to end up living with, probably. And
right.
At least the people who are very much for legalized marijuana turned down the bill 5 years ago, whatever that was, that would have allowed almost all the money for that to be taken out of state. There would have been, I think, three or four entities that would own all the marijuana that would be sold in Ohio. So they were letting other people take all the money out of Ohio. At least this time the money stayed in Ohio.
Right.
But
Ohioans want the recreational use, but what kind of guardrails? Are there enough guardrails to protect everyone else?
Yep.
So that's my concern.
Has to happen. So anything else you want to throw in before we jump into the rocker?
Nope. Just appreciate everybody's consideration. I would like to continue serving another 2 years. I've got other bills that I need to get across the finish line, and so I'd appreciate your vote in November.
All right. That's 4 weeks from yesterday. So thanks, Angie. We appreciate you coming in and appreciate you. And we see at all the parades and anything, every time something's going on, there's Angie King. And we do appreciate that you at least come and acknowledge the fact that we are part of your district, even though we're just about as far as in the one corner that you can get. But we appreciate it, and good luck to you. And we hope that everything all goes just fine for you, and probably see you again in a couple of years.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you coming over. Thank you very, very much. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you.
We'll be back with Rocker right after a couple of...
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4044.
Mark your calendars for a very important event happening here in Fort Recovery. It's the return of Beyond the Battlefield and St. Clair's Defeat, connecting with the tribal nations of today, coming up on Saturday and Sunday, October 19th and 20th. There will be 10 official representatives from 4 tribes who will be here to help interpret their tribe's history and culture. There will be several scheduled presentations on both days, and official representatives from several of the tribes will be on the museum grounds all weekend, and visitors are welcome to ask questions and have discussions with them. You can also take the battleground tour and visit various other historical sites around town, and our museum will be open to the public at no charge. check the Fort Recovery Museum Facebook page for details and updates. If you didn't make it to Beyond the Battlefield last year, this is your chance to learn even more about what really happened here in 1791. Most of us know about the U.S. Army side of the battle, and now here's our chance to get the Native Americans' perspective on this battle that changed the course of American history. Get to the museum grounds on Saturday and Sunday, October 19th and 20th, for Beyond the Battlefield, interpreting St. Clair's defeat through the eyes of tribal citizens. You don't want to miss it. Here we go. We are back with Rocker, and he's doing a top 10 list.
Top 10 songs I hate.
I like them.
I doubt it.
Oh, okay.
Number 10, The First Cut is the Deepest.
By the Rod Stewart version? Is a what's the... what? Why don't we like that one?
I just... Depend on who sings it, it doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
Oh, this...
Love song?
I like it.
Yes. And so it's... Oh, yeah, this one's on the list. Okay.
I already know what it is.
What is it, Bob?
I'm going to say Taylor Swift.
No.
Oh.
Can't say it one. No. Number 9, Freak on a Leash by Korn.
I kind of like that one for that kind of music.
Now I believe Hell's Froze Over.
I think we actually have it in our playlist.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, it is. But I like it.
Number 8, one of those bad genres of music that just thankfully has kind of went by is the hip-hop country craze. Over and Over with Nelly and Tim McGraw.
Pretty sure I don't know that one.
That's probably a good one to miss on.
So Angie, what is that one of your favorites? Harold has stepped in.
Would you have an all-time song that you despise?
I'm guessing Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah, I don't listen to her music.
Yeah, I'm not a Taylor Swift.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my phone.
Oh, your phone's dead.
Oh, it went black on me.
Oh. So.
Number 7.
7.
Telephone by Beyonce and Lady Gaga.
Don't know that one either.
Awful. God awful.
Awesome.
Fall 6 by Paparazzi by Lady Gaga.
You like Gaga very well.
Yep.
I love her, most of her other stuff, but these two. 9.
Yep. 9? I thought we were at 6.
That means no in German.
Oh.
Showing off my language skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've always been known as an international linguist.
Yes. Backwards. everybody remembers this awful piece of crap.
Achy Breaky Heart.
Feelings by Morris Albert.
I didn't dislike that.
Are you? That's an oldie.
That's a nice love song.
Slow dancing machine. Nothing more than feeling.
I heard somewhere I might
have. Trying to forget my feelings of love.
I heard somewhere, I think it was Saturday Night Live. They were doing it.
All my life I feel.
So a guy was doing the Japanese guy's impression, so he was...
My God, Rocker!
He was doing fearings. Fearings. It was probably a little not respectful of the Japanese race.
Number 4. Another song that...
Achy Breaky Heart.
Another song that doesn't matter who sings it, it's just bad. Moni Moni.
Tommy James and the Shondells.
Shake it, Moni. Everywhere.
You're a communist.
Oh my God.
I didn't love, what was it, Billy Idol that did it?
Yeah. Oh, wait, we can't say that.
How's that?
Yeah, man.
Moni Moni. I like that song.
Yeah.
Tommy James.
Tommy James is from Detroit.
They can't all be.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
He lives in Dayton, Ohio.
I don't think he does.
Look it up.
Okay.
Number three, How You Remind Me by Nickelback.
That's okay.
This is how you remind me of what I really am.
Yep, I like
that's it. That's impressive.
I like it.
Thanks.
I don't love it, but I like it.
Top 10 or the bottom?
Yeah.
So that's worse than Achy Breaky Heart.
You and Bill ought to put out a Christmas album.
Achy Breaky Heart. Where's that? That better be number one.
I didn't make the list.
I like Achy Breaky Heart.
You would.
Number two.
Awful. Swangin'. I'm just a swangin'.
John Anderson?
That's awful. Those are two god-awful songs. So go ahead.
Trying to get poor Mrs. King out of here before. Number two, Sloop John B. by the Beach Boys. God awful.
No, it's not.
They got a crap ton of good songs.
I like that
song. Then we got this one.
Actually, I
know you got it.
I just learned this year that they weren't the original people to sing that song. There was somebody else that it wasn't exactly that, but it was a Sloop John B, and it was done by some folk group, and they did it completely different, well, but it's the same lyrics and all that. But I like Sloop John B.
You want to take a guess what number one is?
Achy Breaky Heart.
No.
Swingin'.
Obla Dee Obla Da by the Beatles.
It's such a happy song. How fair by us.
Jeez.
I'm killing you guys, ain't I?
Yes. Well, not if we kill you first.
Johnny was a singer in the band. Desmond and I can't.
That one ran out of gas quite some time in.
God, Rocker. I'm not impressed with your list today.
Yeah, no, that's...
Well, you can't all be pearls.
Well, none of them were.
That's right.
Ooh. Wow.
That was a rough crowd.
It was a rough crowd.
Man. Wow.
So,
I used to like you.
Well, I believe that's what Taylor Swift said to me the other week, too.
That she used to like you?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Then she found Kelsey?
Yeah, well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a sad day.
Yep. Well, we ready for sports talk?
Yep.
All righty. We'll be back in just a... Nope, we're getting ready to be done. You want to say something before we go get done? Yep. So we'll be back in just a minute.